the law of the heart. The law of the heart is really what Jesus is presenting in this morning's gospel from the fifth chapter of St. Matthew, which is near the beginning of his Sermon on the Mount, which really encapsulates the law of the new covenant. And Jesus begins the gospel by saying, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And that must have been rather shocking for the hearers of that, knowing that the scribes and the Pharisees, these were men who had given their whole lives to the study of the law, the Torah. They had outwardly practiced the laws. In fact, Jesus said, even tithing right down to their herb garden, to their mint and cumin. And yet they missed the weightier matters of the law. Because Jesus knew that in their religiosity, their faith was really just an externally applied faith. And Jesus, in becoming the fulfillment, the Word which became flesh, that who now stood before them, was presenting the fulfillment of the law of the heart, which was really a fulfillment of what God said through the prophet Jeremiah, I believe it was. He said, I will turn your hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. To encounter the divine love of God. And in Orthodoxy, we would say the healing, sanctifying love of God. Because there's one thing for certain. If we are truly honest about it, and we need to be honest about it, and that is that we are all walking wounded. We are all broken men and women on a faith journey into healing and sanctification. And the law of the heart, which again is grounded in the divine unconditional love and grace of God, is a law that is carried out not just in the vertical between you and I, between us individually and God, and our faithfulness and love of God, but more particularly, or just as particularly, it is a law that is carried out in the horizontal between each of us. We don't have to be prophets or seers to know that we are living in very troubling times, within, particularly within our nation, but really throughout the world. Besides the pandemic, we see the political unrest. We know that the enemy has taken the high ground in many of our areas of education, the media, the pop culture, and in some cases is even getting a toehold within mainline denominations where the rules are being rewritten. It is a time of spiritual warfare. And this is a time in which the church, you and I, that have become members of the Ark of Salvation, need to be united in our faith, in our love and grace for one another. For those of you who have ever served in the military, and we have several of you here today, or in law enforcement, which is really a paramilitary culture, we understand that subculture, but for those looking from the outside, you may believe that these men or women that are joined together, oftentimes outside of combat, outside of the tactical operations, can be cruel to one another with the way they speak to each other, the language that they use, the practical jokes that they play. But there's something that we know. When the moment of truth is there, we trust our brother, our sister, and having our back. Any little petty squabbling or practical pranks and jokes go out the window. And when it's combat time, It's time to come together. We come to church every Sunday and we try to put on the game face. Oftentimes it's pretense. But we have to be honest and acknowledging that we have been wounded, that we have wounded others with words, with actions, with attitudes. In order to receive the healing grace of God, we need to have a united heart. This is why Jesus, in his teaching from Matthew chapter 5, he said, if a brother has anything against you, first, before you bring your gift to the altar, first go and be reconciled. Be reconciled. Make those amends. And then come to the altar. Throughout the entire history of the new covenant, from the very first generation, one of the consistent things that have been manifest in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church is the particularity of its individual members who are broken. And the manifestation of that is not only some sexual sins that St. Paul was addressing in the church in Corinth, but in almost every epistle, he speaks something of the disunity, the infighting, the bickering, the cliquishness of its particular members. And I think that all of us, from time to time, have had to confess that we have not loved the other with the unconditional heart of God, the law of love. St. Peter, I remind you, who would become the prince of the apostles, was also the one who denied our Lord not once, not twice, but three times. He forsook the Lord, and he denied him three times. And yet, in the grace of God and his restorative power and sanctity, called Peter to this place of encouraging, of building up his church. And this is what we have in this morning's epistle lesson from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. He says, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind. Be of one mind, having compassion for one another." I want to remind you that to have compassion is not merely to empathize, but have compassion means to share in the other's suffering, to share in the other's brokenness. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. St. Peter is reminding the new Israel, the church, that they are to be the priests of the nations, that they are to bless, even as they are reviled, even as they may be persecuted. It is the law of the heart, ruled by love. And I want to remind you what St. Peter also says in the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." You see, when we're stuck in our own egotism, our own self-centeredness, our own desire for convenience, to not be bothered, to not be offended, then we become those who, like the first generation of the church, need to be called outside of ourselves into the life of the other, the suffering other. For it is there, even as we may be confronted by the most irascible or disagreeable and unlovable among us. We begin with the heart of God, the law of the heart, to begin to extend grace and forgiveness. And at the very center of that is forgiveness. I learned as a very young teen a very powerful lesson in forgiveness through the story of one Corrie ten Boom. You may remember her work, a movie that was produced about her called The Hiding Place. My mom and dad took us, I don't remember exactly where it was, I believe it was a high school, maybe North Carroll High School in outside of Westminster, but we went to see Corrie ten Boom. She was probably in her, well up into her 80s. This would have been about the mid-70s, 1970s. And I was struck by the story that she told of forgiveness. But if you don't know the story, Corrie and her sister, older sister Bessie, and their father Casper ran a watchmaking shop in Harlem, Netherlands. And they were a devout Christian family. And they knew that as Nazi Germany had invaded the Netherlands in May of 1940, and began to round up the Jews, they began to protect their Jewish neighbors by creating a hiding place within their home. But they were betrayed by another man who was trying to seek shelter for some other Jewish people. And the Nazis came in and rounded up the entire family. Shortly after incarceration, her father died, and Corrie and her older sister Betsy were sent off to Ravensbrück concentration camp, where Betsy, at the hands of a cruel Nazi guard, ended up losing her own life. And Corrie talked about how she carried that hatred toward this man for many, many years. And it was some years later, after her release, when she began to do speaking circuits, that she was at a church in Munich, Germany, and she looked out to see that guard sitting in the audience. And at the end of her talk, this man came down with his hat in his hand, and he extended his hand. And I want you to listen to what Corrie said in her own words. The man said, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. He was saying, I was a guard in there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? As I stood there, I whose sins had every day to be forgiven and could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it. I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. I forgive you. I heard that story told from her lips, and it had a powerful impact in my life, in understanding that it is by the grace of God, the rule of the heart, our heart of stone turned to a heart of flesh, that enables us to receive healing as we are willing to offer forgiveness and grace to the broken other. This is the law of the heart. This is the love of God in bringing healing to you and to me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.